Calling all cars. The copyrighted program created by the Rio Grande Oil Company.
San Rafael police calling all cars, attention all cars. Be on the lookout for a gang of housebreakers known to be operating in San Rafael. Further details to follow.
Tonight's true crime story is located in the San Francisco Bay Area of Northern California. An area where the police are enthusiastic users of Rio Grande cracked gasoline. All the police and emergency cars have opened, and the neighboring city of Berkeley needs nothing but Rio Grande cracked gasoline. In Southern California, the largest law enforcement body in the West, the Los Angeles Police Department, used nothing but Rio Grande cracked gasoline. In Arizona, the largest county in the state is Maricopa, and every car operated by the county sheriff's office uses Rio Grande cracked gasoline. In fact, wherever calling all cars is heard, more police and emergency cars use Rio Grande cracked than any other brand. And all these thousands of emergency cars use exactly the same gasoline you get from your neighborhood Rio Grande dealer. At the same price you pay for ordinary gasoline, you can enjoy the extra pleasure of police car performance. Now it is our pleasure to present Chief Sabin King of San Rafael, California, who will address you from the studios of station KFRC in San Francisco. Chief King.
Of the Southwest. It is with great pleasure and a sense of honor that I have accepted calling all cars invitation to participate in a splendid campaign to educate the public to the futility of crime. The case you will hear is from my confidential files tonight. It is perhaps not as blood-curdling as some which have been broadcasted before, but it is, I feel, an interesting example of the less spectacular duty your police officers are called upon to perform. This gang, about which you will hear, operated in the region of San Rafael for more than 2 years. Although their individual crimes were not large, were not headline compelling, they were nonetheless crimes, and the aggregated of their activities compelled us to eradicate them. When I became chief about a year and a half ago, I determined that this bunch of hoodlums must go. How we accomplished this turned out to be a rather difficult task. You will now hear.
It is a brisk November day in 1934. Officer Mike Holloran of the San Rafael Police Force has just returned from his seat when Chief Sabin King summoned him to his office.
You wanted to see me, Chief?
Oh, yes. Come in, Holloran.
Something up?
Oh, nothing new, but something we've got to break up. This gang of hoodlums that have been breaking in houses around here. There was another robbery last night.
I've been working on that gang for some time now, Chief, and they're a tough bunch to crack. As a matter of fact, I've got a good idea who's behind them, but so far there's no proof. Nothing concrete.
Well, it's up to somebody to get proof. Your citizens and taxpayers are beginning to get sore about it.
I've been thinking over an idea that might work, Chief. It's the only way I can see to get them with the evidence. Maybe it'd work if I could have some help.
What is it?
Well, I've been watching a fellow by the name of Peronini. Sam Peronini. He's a Portuguese, a night watchman. And I've got a hunch that he's the bird that's engineering all these jobs.
What makes you think that?
Well, in the first place, he knows his way around this town. Been here for some time. And in the second place, he hangs around with a bunch of pretty shady-looking birds.
Well, what is this plan you were talking about?
Just this. If I could have someone to go with me, I could get some old clothes and let my beard grow and try to get in with a gang. And that way, I'd have positive evidence.
That's pretty risky business, Holland. How do you know they wouldn't recognize you?
I don't, but I'm pretty sure I could get away with it for a while.
All right. Here's what we'll do. You officially leave town tonight for a business trip, only you don't really leave. Tonight about 10 o'clock, you come over to my house and we'll dope this thing out.
You mean you're going to work with me?
Exactly. We'll try this plan of yours and see what happens. Got any old clothes?
I think I can dig some up.
Good. I'll round up some of my own and we'll go to work. From tonight on, Holland, there are 2 less policemen in San Rafael and 2 more tramps in the freight yard.
Pursuing this ingenious plan, he's saying these words that both he and Holloran will be out of town for a few days. Then that night, he and Holloran needed his home, changed into old clothes, even apply a touch of makeup to complete their transformation. An hour later, as the 11:20 Eureka night train camps into the little San Rafael station, 2 disreputable hobos swing from the last car and stand talking in the shadow of a sidetracked freight car.
Well, so far, so good. Anybody watching that entrance to town would think we were just a couple of the boys.
I feel dirty enough to be a bum. Hope I look like one.
Don't worry, you do. As a matter of fact, if I saw you coming down the street and I was in uniform, I'd throw you in jail on the back yard.
Well, we can't stand here all night. Let's go over to the taxi stand by the station and see if the drivers recognize us. If we can get by them, we're a stink.
Right, let's go.
Wonder if we can bum a cup of coffee. I could stand one after that train ride, even though it was only a few blocks.
How'd you like to be a real hobo and do this all the time?
No, thanks. I'm afraid I couldn't take it. Well, here's the test. There's one of the boys in front of his cab now. He knows me by sight. Come on.
What are you going to say to him?
Ask him for a flop or something. Watch him. Say, buddy, where's a guy liable to find a flop house in this town? Me and my friend here just got in. We're dead tired.
You're in the wrong town for that, buddy. This place don't run no free hotels for bums yet. Unless maybe you'd like to roll us in the trail, huh?
No, no thanks. Maybe we made a mistake stopping here. Come on, Al. Let's drift.
Okay. And thanks, buddy.
Oh, it's so much of it, buddy.
Must have a good police department here.
Yeah.
Anyway, he didn't know you. Now what do we do?
There's a place around the corner up here where Paranini hangs out. It's a sort of a dive. Maybe we could mosey in there and get an earful.
Well, I don't think we both ought to go in. I'll go in and you stick around in the near vicinity and see what happens.
And if something does happen?
Well, just use your own judgment. And it better be good.
Okay. Let's part company here then. I'll meet you up at the next corner in 15 minutes.
Right.
Good luck.
Thanks. Same to you. Get a drink here. I just got in town today.
All right. Come in.
Thanks. Kind of cold out there.
Yeah.
Heard you made good hot toddies here. Thought I might take a crack at one.
I don't like to let strangers in here unless there was somebody I know. I guess it's all right. Come on into the bar.
Thanks. Nice layout here.
Yeah. You can order what you want at the bar.
Right. What'll it be, buddy? Make it a hot toddy.
A hot toddy? Come up.
Say, bartender, maybe you can tell me something.
Maybe.
I just flew in town today, and I was told to look up a fellow here. I think his name is Paranini.
What about him?
Nothing about him. I only thought maybe you could tell me if he was here tonight, that's all. I know a mutual friend of his from out of town.
Yeah, he's here. Over there at that table.
Hey, am I lucky?
I wouldn't bother him right now, though. He's talking business, and he don't like to be bothered when he's busy.
That right? Well, maybe I better wait a while, huh? I don't want to get him sore.
That's a good idea, buddy. Here's your hot toddy.
Well, boy, that looks good to me.
30 cents.
Huh? Oh, sure. Almost forgot. That's funny. Had some money a minute ago.
Hey, what is this?
I can't seem to find my dough. Must have lost it somewhere. But I can get some from my friend at the pool hall.
Oh, you can get it from your friend at the pool hall, can you? Well, this ain't no free drink establishment. Come on.
walk over.
I haven't got any money with me, I tell you. I'll have to go and get some.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
Come over here and help this fellow out, will you?
There isn't any trouble. I just found out that I'd lost some money somewhere, that's all. I told this gentleman that I'd get some if he'd let me go downtown for a minute.
I don't think you got a damn your name. Help him out, Joe. The back way.
A pleasure. Come on, buddy. This way up.
Hey, wait a minute. There's no reason to get tough about 30 cents.
That's walking. It ain't the money. It's the principle of it.
Listen, I walk out of here, but you're not going to tow me, are you?
Well, what do you call this?
Brutally hurled to the pavement, Pete Payne lies unconscious on the sidewalk until a passing pedestrian sees him and turns him a call to the police department. And a few minutes later, two officers arrive in the patrol wagon to pick up the supposed drunk.
Here he is, pal. Come on and give me a hand with him.
Yeah, looks like a tramp. Probably been drinking canned heat or something.
Yeah.
All right. Oh,
hey, boy.
Hey, boy.
He's a heavy one, ain't he?
Yeah, yeah. In the wagon now. Easy. Okay, Todd. Have a sit and back with him. Let's go home.
Right.
Oh. Now, take it easy, old boy. You're going to get a nice rest in the jailhouse. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, well, in the name of all this... Hey, wait a minute. What's going on here?
Is he ill? No, he's waking up, that's all. Todd! Whatever might come here.
What's the matter?
That's right, boy.
What are you doing here in these clothes?
I got bounced out of that joint.
But I don't see.
Look, boy. Drive me around the corner there, will you? Just pretend that you don't know me until we get away from here. I'm on a job.
Oh, okay. Come on, Todd.
All right. I'll tell you all about this later. Meanwhile, I don't want you to say anything about it to anyone. Make out your report and simply state that you answered the call, found a man on the sidewalk, and gave him medical aid, and then released him.
Yes, sir.
Your own satisfaction, I'll tell you this much. Pollard and I are working on a job here in town, and we don't want anybody to know who we are. That's why the disguise.
I never had such a surprise in my life. You could have knocked me over with a bridge girder.
Good. Wait a minute. Here's where I want to get off. Pull up here, Sergeant, will you?
Sure.
Remember, not a word to anyone about this. That's important.
Right, Chief. We won't say anything.
Good. Well, thanks for the ride. The first one I've ever had in the rear end of our patrol wagon. It's not bad. Not bad at all.
Bidding the bewildered officers goodbye, Chief Payne returns to the corner and meets Holland. And together they return to the chief's house, where they each fasten heavy packs on their backs, hobo fashion. One with blankets in it, the other with a small submachine gun. Thus prepared for any emergency, they proceed to a lumber yard next to Farinelli's house and make their beds between two piles of wood where they can watch the place. All the rest of that night, the two officers keep a sharp watch on the activities of the Farinelli house. In the early hours of the morning, they manage to get close enough to overhear what sounds like a large panel sliding back and heavy objects being moved. But due to the thick blinds on the windows, they can see nothing within. They learn, however, that something is being planned for the following night. So next season, in an old borrowed car, and still dressed in their old clothes, Chief Payne and Officer Holland pull up in the shadows a half block away from the house and wait for things to happen.
Oh, God,
Holland. Yes, it's the same one I saw the other day. I wonder what they're up to.
Well, we shouldn't have long to wait. Here comes someone out of the house now.
It's Farinelli. And here come the rest of them. What the devil are they carrying?
I can't see. It's too far away. Well, anyway, looks as though we might have some action.
They're loading the stuff into the car.
Quiet. Wait till we see what they do. We don't want to get them suspicious of this far out of it.
They're leaving.
Okay, let's go. Keep plenty of distance, Hollow.
I will. Hey, those birds are in an awful hurry wherever they're going.
They may have spotted us and are trying to ditch us. Don't let them.
Don't worry. I won't lose them if it's humanly possible not to.
They swung to the left, right next corner.
Get around it before they have a chance to duck into an alley or something.
I'm doing the best I can with this crate.
Watch it, Halloran. There's something right ahead there.
First time I ever knew it was private. This here belongs.
Sorry, but we're not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah?
Did he get you, Holland?
No, miss.
While they're talking to the boys at the front, we ought to be able to surprise them.
Now, Paul, quietly. them now. Get set to go through this back door as soon as we hear them talking.
Yeah. Somebody at the door,
Bill.
You will be.
Get that,
Howland. I'm set itching to go.
And what do you want?
Pick up your hands,
Dylan.
Hey, Dylan,
stay
away
from
the door.
Come on,
Howard.
It's time to get moving.
Sir, get up the road, Bill. I let
the money.
I
say
it. I'm coming.
All right, Sam. Toss your gun away and stick up your hands.
Huh? Where the hell are you from?
Never mind that. Stick up your hands. Look out, Howard. Look out for Jackson.
Why, get him, Jackson. Get him. Howard, don't take that.
I wouldn't advise you to do that, Sam. There's too many of us here. You wouldn't get very far, even if you did shoot me. Nice work, Doris. He never knew what hit him.
Here's Jackson, Chief. I think he's all through fighting for a while.
Good. How about you, Bill? Do you want to go along peacefully, or do you want some of the same medicine?
That chance I'd ever get in the way with all you flat feet loaded to the hills with 45. I'll go along all right, but you haven't got anything on me.
Well, that's where you're wrong, young fellow. We've got plenty on you. Enough to send you up for quite a nice stretch.
Couple of women here, Chief.
Yeah, fine, Howland. Bring them along with us. We'll make a nice little party of it. Kelly, you and Thor, see if you can get Cerrone there onto his feet and get him out to the car. The rest of us will take care of Jackson and Bill here and the women. I want to have a special talk with Mr. Jackson about that little arson job he pulled tonight.
Hey, what's that? I don't know what you're talking about.
No use, Jackson. Holland and I both saw you run out of that bungalow over on First Street just as it started to burn. If you didn't set fire to it, what were you doing in it?
So you finally did it, did you, Jackson? I told you not to try it.
Oh, shut up. Even if I did, it's none of your business. You're always trying to boss me into it, and I'm sick of it.
Well, I guess that settles that.
After a few persuasive days in jail, Perrini confessed to a long list of robberies. He was quickly brought to trial and sentenced to San Quentin Penitentiary for from 1 to 5 years. Jackson drew a sentence in the state insane asylum. The three women, never having actually participated in the robberies, were released on probation. And Hawkins was given 3 months in the county jail and then released on 5 years probation. Grandy is proud of the confidence placed in this company by the many police departments of the West, who opened their confidential files so that we may give you these true crime dramas, and who further show their confidence by selecting Rio Grande cracked gasoline over all others to power their emergency cars. If you want to know why Rio Grande gets so many contracts from the West's biggest cities and counties, ask your Rio Grande dealer for a free copy of the latest issue of the Calling All Cars News, which explains for the first time the secret of Rio Grande's famous patented cracking process, an exclusive refining method which gives this unusable gasoline many features suggested by no other brand. You get a lot of interesting things every time you drive into a Rio Grande station. An interesting free publication, some free police money, which you can exchange for free gifts for boys and girls. And you also get a top-grade motor oil, guaranteed to contain no useless, bulky filler, no wax, no worthless petroleum jelly. Sinclair motor oils in cans at 25 cents and 30 cents a quart have created a sensation in the oil industry by offering what is unquestionably the best motor oil money can buy.
Police calling all cars, attention all cars. Cancellation broadcast 121 regarding a robbery gang. Suspects in this case are now in custody. That's all.
Your narrator, Frederick Lindsley, is bidding you good night for the Rio Grande Oil Company.